All he wanted to do was see how close he could get to the lion. And he came up and he said, the lion sees me. And he's staring. Now, I got to be careful not to make eye contact with him. And if I hear him growl, you know, then I know that I need to start backing off. Okay, because if he senses any fear, then, you know, he's going to get up and he's going to. I'm thinking to myself, man, are you crazy? I'm looking at it, and he said, all he got is the cameraman on the truck, right? I'm looking to say, man, you got some weapon or something anywhere in case this lion attacks? And he says, the lion is starting to raise up. He said, no, I'm not going to look at the lion. I'm just going to back away because if he senses any fear, I'm thinking, man, you know what? I'd have been running, man. The lion would have sensed fear because I'd have been running. No, the lion wouldn't even have the chance to sense fear because I would have never did that. But you know what? Satan is the same way. If Satan senses any fear or wavering or duplicity or doubt on you, man, you know what? He's just going to come after you. Look, now what if Jesus was out there in the wilderness? Well, you know, Satan, you know, you're a bad guy, and I just don't know if I can, you know, fight with you. Satan would have been all over Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, it is written, devil. It is written. It is written. It is written.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on spiritual warfare, looking for a reason to fight, with the conclusion of the Sword of the Spirit. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Sword of
What a bunch of words in it. Oh, it's a good book. Oh, it's a book from God. I understand that. But it does me absolutely no good. Just when the words are on the page. The words have to get out of the page and get into my heart. And then that's when I have a rhema. Then that's when I'm able to stand against Satan when I have a rhema. But until I get that rhema, that Bible is doing me no good. The power of the rhema of God. We saw the picture of the rhema of God. The power of the rhema of God. The rhema of God brought the world into existence. Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. Oh, you got it. You got it. Guess what that word is? What's the Greek word? What's that Greek word for the word there? Oh, y'all got it. Man, we got some Greek scholars up in here. Up in here. For by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the rhema of God. By the interactive word of God. Look at the power of rhema here. That God spoke something out of nothing. There was a group of scientists that got together and they decided that man had come a long way and that man no longer needed God. And the science walked up to God and said, God, we decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and we can do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go somewhere and get lost? And God listened patiently, and God was kind, and God said, okay. He said, I'll do that. He said, but let's do one thing. He said, let's have a contest, and let's make a man like we made the first man. And whoever makes the best man will win the contest. And so the scientists said, sure, no problem. And they got ready to make a man, and they reached down into the earth, and they grabbed some dirt, and God said, no, no, no. Get your own dirt. The power of rhema. That there was no dirt. No dirt. And God spoke. And dirt came into existence. That there was nothing. And God spoke. And something came into existence. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the rhema of God. Man, that's powerful. That God can speak something out of nothing. And if God can do that, what has God given to us? God has given us rhemas that if we allow them to interact with our heart, that we can stand against the attacks of the devil. The word or the rhema of the Lord endures forever. That the rhema will never, you know, we talk about the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. The rhema of God will never lose its power. And then the rhema of God is the basis for all faith. It says, so then faith, y'all know the verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, not word, by the what? By the rhema of God. Amen. Amen. The rhema of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the interactive word of God as it interacts with your heart, and as you believe it and as you stand on it, then it becomes a rhema. That when Satan comes and attacks your life with temptation, you quote a rhema of God. I'm trusting God. I will not be tempted by you, Satan. When Satan comes to try to bring discouragement in your life, if you see, that's the problem that we have in the church today, is that people don't believe the word of God. Because if we believed the word of God, man, I had the opportunity to spend Tuesday with Dr. Willie Richardson, picking him up at the airport and, you know, taking him out and taking him around. Now, here's a man that has written several books. Here's a man that is spoken all over the country. People are dying to get him to come speak, and he's spoken internationally. And just to sit down and talk to this man, he just simply believes the word. I mean, you would think that, look, Dr. Richardson, tell me something deep and in-depth, man. Reveal to me something that only those who have been taken to the third levels of heaven can know, and then come down and share that with me. All we talked about was the word. All he did was quote Bible verses. That's all he did was quote Bible verses. My brothers and sisters, this thing is simple. The word. You got the rhema of God. You got the word of God. And if you will just use the word of God, this is a powerful tool. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhemas of God. That in order for you to have faith, that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I see it on signs at football games. I see it on billboards. But what good does it do at the football game? What good does it do on the billboard? Once I receive it, then it becomes a rhema in my heart. And I know that I know that I know that I'm born again. The word of God. The picture of the rhema. The power of the rhema. The pursuit of the rhema. The pursuit of the rhema. Somebody said that in order for you to, when you have a weapon, there's three things that you have to do. The first thing is, you got to know your weapon. You got to know your weapon. Aha! I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all the excitement, I've kind of lost track. But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. Y'all know that. Dirty Harry. Now, what's the point that I'm trying to make? Dirty Harry knew his weapon. He knew what his weapon can do. And the problem with many of God's people is that they don't know what their weapon. Whew. You don't know what your weapon can do. Because if you knew what your weapon could do, you would be in pursuit of this weapon. You would be constantly pursuing how to understand this weapon better. You would constantly be seeking to understand, how can I understand this weapon better? On the table, side by side, was the Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well-worn but cherished with pride. No, it's not the Bible. It's the TV guide. One is used daily to help folks decide. No, it isn't the Bible. It's the TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall we see? Oh, what does it matter? Just turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, not the Holy Bible. It's the TV guide. The word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse before you fall into bed. Exhausted and sleepy and as tired as can be. Not from reading the Bible, but from watching TV. So then back to the table, side by side is the Holy Bible and the TV guide. No time for prayer, no time for the word. The plan of salvation is seldom heard. Forgiveness of sin, so full and so free, is found in the Bible and not on TV. People, man, we pursue the wrong things. My brothers and sisters, you got a weapon. Get to know your weapon. Get to know your weapon. Know it by reading it. Know it by researching it. 2 Timothy 2:15, all scripture is given. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Study to show yourself approved. That's 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, study it. Study the word. That you got a weapon in your hand. You need to study it. You need to know how far it will go. You need to know what happens if it gets clogged up, the trigger gets clogged. You need to know how to clean it. You need to know how to keep it sharp. You know, somebody said the sword of the Spirit is the only sword that gets sharper the more you use it. Every other sword, the more you use it, guess what? It gets dull. This is the only one that gets sharper the more you use it. You need to get to know your weapon. Secondly, you need to know how to keep your weapon in tip-top condition. You need to know how to keep it in the best condition possible. You don't want a dull sword. You know, you don't want a sword that's corroded. You don't want a sword that's rusty. You want a sword that's tip-top condition. So how do you do that? You do that by reflecting on the word of God. You do that. Psalm 1 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's how you keep your weapon in tip-top shape. There was a man who looked out his window, and he saw three things. He saw a butterfly, and he saw how the butterfly would go from flower to flower and how it would light, and it would only stay for a second. And then he noticed a botanist came, and the botanist came, and the botanist began to get out a magnifying glass and examine each flower. And he had a notebook and he wrote stuff down in the notebook. And then when he got done, he put his notebook under his arm and he walked away. The third thing he saw was a bee. And the bee would light on the flower and they would sink down deep into the flower and would extract all the nectar and pollen that it could carry. The bee, unlike the other two, went in empty and came out full. And God says that when you come to his word, you might come empty. But if you will meditate, if you will suck all the nectar and you will suck all the pollen out of it, you will keep your weapon in tip-top shape. You got to know your weapon. You got to know how to keep your weapon in condition. Oh, yes, sir. Then you got to know how to use your weapon. You got to know how to use your weapon. Unlike Dirty Harry, when he said he had a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, you've got a sword in your hand, the most powerful weapon in the world. This weapon will knock down high-powered executives and bring them to their knees. This word will topple kings and kingdoms. This word will take somebody off of the streets and give them a new character and a new nature. This word will provide promises of eternal life and salvation. This word will tell you about the mercies of God. This word will make you feel like you're somebody when you think you're a nobody. This word is a powerful word. And you've got to know how to use this word. First of all, you use this word by resting on it. You rest on it. When Satan comes, when Satan tries to frazzle you, you don't get frazzled. Why? Because I'm resting. I'm resting. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Talking about Abraham. When he was beyond the age of childbearing, and his wife was beyond the age of carrying a child. It says in verse 20 that he, Romans chapter 4, he staggered not at the rhema of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to deliver. How do you use the rhema? When you get a rhema, you do like Abraham. I'm trusting on you. I'm resting on you, God. I know that you're able, and I know that you promised, and I know that you're going to do it. You know, praise God. You know, in my mind, I already see a new sanctuary. In my mind, it's already done. You know, I'm not staggering. Elizabeth, I'm coming home to join you. Staggering. He didn't stagger. Saints, when Satan attacks your life, when Satan comes after you, when he comes after you with doubt, discouragement, when he comes after you with temptation, that's how you use this weapon. That's how you use it. You know, I was watching one of these animal shows the other day. This guy, man, you know, some people in the world are just crazy. You know, some people are just crazy. This guy, this male lion who was the head of the pride, all he wanted to do was see how close he could get to the lion. And he came up and he said, "The lion sees me." And he's staring. Now, I got to be careful not to make eye contact with him. And if I hear him growl, you know, then I know that I need to start backing off. Okay, because if he senses any fear, then, you know, he's going to get up and he's going to, I'm thinking to myself, man, are you crazy? I'm looking at, and he said, all he got is the cameraman on the truck, right? I'm looking to say, man, you got some weapon or something anywhere in case this lion attacks? And he says, the lion is starting to raise up. He said, I'm not going to look at the lion. I'm just going to back away because if he senses any fear, I'm thinking, man, you know what? I'd have been running, man. The lion would have sensed fear because I'd have been running. No, the lion wouldn't even have the chance to sense fear because I would never did that. But you know what? Satan is the same way. If Satan senses any fear or wavering or duplicity or doubt on you, man, he's just going to come after you. Look, now what if Jesus was out there in the wilderness? Well, you know, Satan, you know, you're a bad guy, and I just don't know if I can, you know, fight with you. The Satan would have been all over Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "It is written, devil. It is written. It is written. It is written." And Satan, that's why you got to get this word. You got to read the word. You got to research the word. You got to reflect on the word. You got to rest on the word. You got to know the word. Because when he attacks you, if you don't have your sword sharp, if you don't have your sword ready to do battle, he's going to destroy you every time. Every time. Resting on the word. Responding to the word. You know, James, look what James says in James. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye not doers of the word, and not hearers only, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and immediately forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How do you use your weapon? You read it and you conform to what it says. You see, the word will show you who you are. It will show you, it will reveal who you are. There was a couple that was out in the hills, and they didn't get into civilization much, and they didn't understand all the newfound things that were going on. And so there was this, the husband, he was going out, and he was staying out, you know, hunting and doing all kind of stuff, and he'd come in late at night and get up early in the morning. And his wife started getting suspicious. I wonder where he'd been going. I wonder what he'd been doing. And one day there was this group of city people, and they had been camping, and they left, and one of the things that they left was a mirror. And this couple had never seen a mirror before. And so the guy was out. He saw the campsite, and he saw the mirror. He stuck it in his pocket. He came home that night and went into the room and stuck it in the drawer, and his wife, you know, she was half asleep, half awake. She was wondering what was going on. And he got up again early the next morning. Now she's really suspicious. You know, I wonder what he's up to, who he's seeing. She said, well, maybe he stuck something in the drawer. And so she went and opened the drawer and pulled out the mirror and looked at it and said, oh, that's the old hag he's been running around with. See, the word will show you who you are. It's a mirror. It will show you who you are. And how do you use it? You use it by conforming to what the word says. You use it by conforming to what God tells you, then regulating your life to the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And as I close, I want to close with the purpose of the rhema. We see that it is a defensive weapon, and we already looked at that. When Satan attacked Jesus, what did he do every time? He quoted the word. He quoted the word. When you are under attack, when you are tempted, when you are tried, quote the word. Stand on the word. Get a rhema and stand on it. And then it's not only a defensive weapon, but it'll allow you to go on the offense also. That Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And when Satan attacks you, you know what you need to tell Satan? Look, man, I'm armed and dangerous. I'm armed and dangerous. And see, the problem is that many of us can't say that. You know, and once again, I'm not saying out here that you get out here and become self-confident, brag and boast. But you know what, man? When Satan attacks, there should be no fear in us. There should be no backing away. There should be no backing down. There should be, look, bring it on, man. Bring it on. Because, look, I'm armed and I'm dangerous. You don't want to mess with me. You don't want to deal with You don't want any of this. You don't want this. Because I got this. And you know what? Satan will do the same thing that he did to Jesus. Oh, he might step it up somewhere else, but he got to back off. Because Satan don't want to. He hates the word of God. Amen. Satan, look, in the Garden of Eden, what did he want them to do? He wanted them to doubt God's word. He wanted to doubt the word of God. He hates God's word. And this is our weapon to do battle. The word of God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. This concludes our series on spiritual warfare, looking for a reason to fight. Join us next time for the first half of We're a Winner. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Sword of the Spirit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sword of the Spirit. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Sword of the Spirit. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.